I got into the whole toxic positivity situation as well, because I wanted to kind of take a step back and look at my career. I knew that, you know, the way I was working in São Paulo before I came to Canada, I knew it wasn't really sustainable. Like, I was constantly sick. I was, you know, perpetually tired. It was really tough, especially like pre-pandemic, when it included like commuting in São Paulo and actually getting to places, going to meetings, all of that. I feel like that wasn't really sustainable. And I took the MBA as like a couple of years out to really look at things from a different perspective. And the whole, you know, toxic positivity research.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Have you ever wondered what unicorns eat for breakfast? Or maybe what they use to keep their skin looking so flawless? Well, even if you don't know those answers, I can tell you something equally as interesting and unicorn related. Over 20% of all unicorn startups are using HubSpot, and for a good reason. HubSpot's all-in-one platform levels up your sales, software, and support, so you can grow beyond your wildest dreams, boosting leads and ramping sales along the way. They even have a constantly evolving collection of resources to help startups scale. Plus, the HubSpot for Startup program, you can save up to 90% off your first year. And I would admit it doesn't sound too good to be true, like unicorns, perhaps. But unlike that majestic and also incredibly fiction unicorn, HubSpot for Startups, it's all real. To see if you are eligible to save on HubSpot and take your growth to the new heights, visit HubSpot.com/startups. Welcome to Latinx in Power. Today we are talking with Simone Lima. Simone is a podcast creator and a problem solver dedicated to making a positive impact with a passion for technology and creative pursuits. Fun fact, she has lived in 5 different continents already. I'm very excited. I want to learn more about that. That's incredible. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Super excited to talk to you.
In this episode, Simone will share more about her career journey and also about her research on toxic positivity in the workplace, covering signs, mental health intersections, and coping strategies. I'm so excited about this conversation. As we are planning this episode, I'm personally very excited because it's a topic that we didn't discuss yet in the podcast. And I feel overall, we don't talk much. At least make in the workplace context.
Yeah.
So very excited about that.
That's true. I feel like the conversation's more present around the social media space. So it's interesting, and it's important for us to understand that it also happens in the workplace and how to, you know, deal with it. So
yeah, absolutely. But first things first, what does it mean to be a Latina for you?
Yeah, that was such an interesting question, because, you know, I don't know if you feel like that as well, but being a Brazilian person, like, I feel like we're not really, you know, we don't feel like we're part of the Latin American community as soon as, you know, we're born and realize things. So for me, I feel like it's a journey still understanding what it means for me. I feel like moving to Canada, I have been in Canada for around 3 years now. And moving to Canada and really meeting other, you know, Latin American immigrants, like, that has had a major change in how I understand myself as a Latin American and as a Latin American immigrant. But I would say that for me, it, you know, there's a lot about spontaneity in being Latin American. There's a lot about you know, being very truthful to how you're feeling as well. So I feel like that kind of trickles down into, you know, my research and actually wanting to talk about my feelings in the workplace. I feel like that's something that it's might be part of the culture as well, in terms of like discussing and, you know, being very open about what you're feeling and how you're feeling. So yeah, it's a journey. It's been a journey that has been accelerating in the last 3 years, and I'm just super excited to, you know, meet more Latin American people and kind of create that community around me. I've been learning how to speak Spanish, so I feel like I'm a little bit more inserted into the community. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey for me. I wouldn't know like how to define myself as a Latin American person, but it's been an interesting journey.
I love what you said about being a journey, maybe changing, maybe you have a deeper understanding what it means for you when this is also changing.
Yeah.
What you said about like speaking Spanish, I think for me, it's something that I'm trying to force myself to speak Spanish more. I don't know how you feel about that. I feel for me, as I got more comfortable with English, I kind of like talking English.
Yeah.
Because a lot of folks here that are Latinos, Latinas, Latinx, and Latinx, they speak both languages, so I kind of like just speak in English. And now I'm like, no, I wanna improve my Spanish, and I wanna try to speak Spanish.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely like very self-conscious when it comes to like, you know, grammar and making sure that I know the words, because I feel like every Brazilian speaks some Portuñol. So it's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll make something up and have a conversation in Portuñol. It's fine. Like it's, you know, travel friendly. It works. It gets you to places. But yeah, definitely like I'm very self-conscious when it comes to actually knowing the vocabulary. And so it's been not something that I wanted to just try without actually trying to learn the language and kind of to, you know, honor the language and really understand like where the words come from and all of that. So it's been interesting actually learning Spanish as well and trying to practice it more. So
that's incredible. And can you give us an overview of your career and tell us how did everything start?
Yeah. So I feel like my career is very nonlinear. I started undergrad studying journalism, and then I was like, no, I kind of decided to change. I ended up graduating in international relations in Brazil, in Brasilia. And I really wanted, you know, the social impact and kind of positive impact is something that has always been in my mind. So I really wanted to work in international organizations, and I interned at the UN. I freelanced for the UN in Brasilia. And I realized that my style of work is maybe a little bit faster. I wanted to see things happening faster. So that's kind of how I ended up, you know, in the for-profit space and eventually in startups. I feel like the startup space, and especially, you know, what I'm doing now. So I was in operations for a little while, was in HR for a little while, and then coming into, you know, product management and just product development in general, like working with designers, working with developers. I feel like the way that I enjoy working, you know, it's very covered by, you know, agile methodologies, and it really fits the way I enjoy to do things in terms of, you know, ideating, getting things in the hands of customers, getting feedback. So that was kind of the journey. I went from, you know, international relations, international organizations into startups. And then in startups, I have been a product manager, have been working in product management for the past 5 years. Okay. And there was an MBA in the middle of that. So I feel like that's how I got into the whole toxic positivity situation as well, because I wanted to kind of take a step back and look at my career. I knew that, you know, the way I was working in São Paulo before I came to Canada, I knew it wasn't really sustainable. Like I was constantly sick. I was, you know, perpetually tired. It was really tough, especially like pre-pandemic, when you included like commuting in São Paulo and actually getting to places, going to meetings, all of that. I feel like that wasn't really sustainable. And I took the MBA as like a couple of years out to really look at things from a different perspective. And the whole, you know, toxic positivity research kind of came as part of one of the things that I did in the MBA with the GATE, which is the Gender and the Economics Institute, and kind of links gender and issues in the economy. So that's kind of how the whole toxic positivity podcast came about.
I like that. I really like your overview. And can you tell us, how would you define toxic positivity, especially within the context of a work environment?
Yeah. So I feel like the easiest, the shortest way to define it would be toxic positivity is really just a technique to suppress the emotions that, you know, will eventually come up. You know, we're all human beings at work. Things that we live in the workplace, people that we get in contact with, situations that we put ourselves through, they will, of course, generate emotions on us. And sometimes the workplaces that don't really have or don't want to have the resources to help the workers, to help the people in the workplace to actually deal and process and understand the feelings and the emotions that are arising from their day-to-day at work. And toxic positivity is really just a way to suppress or to tell workers to suppress these feelings. So it's there are, you know, shorter term consequences, longer term consequences. So that's just like the shorter version of what toxic positivity is. And again, I'm sure like we're all very familiar with how toxic positivity works in social media environment in terms of, you know, we only post what's, you know, very positive. We only show moments in which we're very happy. We don't allow ourselves to actually feel and process emotions that are not strictly good emotions, that can be challenging, that can feel bad. So yeah, it's really just, you know, not really creating the space for workers to understand those emotions and to actually deal with those emotions.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Can you share an example with the work, like a work example?
Yeah, definitely. So what happens, for example, when, you know, you may have a situation in which project doesn't go as planned, or, you know, work colleagues are not really getting along together. And if a company is like, okay, no, you shouldn't really be thinking about that. There's no reason for you to feel anxious about that. Or, you know, you're overreacting. That's not really, you know, what's going on here. The employer might feel gaslighted in terms of, okay, I'm feeling things, but someone's telling me that they're not right or they don't exist. And then really you just have to take all of that mental load outside of the work hours, and you have to deal with that on your own time. So I feel like that's one of the reasons why I mentioned that I was, you know, super exhausted when I was working back in Brazil before my MBA, because I was, you know, having a bunch of feelings at work. Feelings of, okay, some people, you know, how do I deal with these people? Or how am I feeling that, you know, this project that I was in charge of didn't really go as planned? Like, how do I deal with that? And I had to do that in my own time. You know, I had to pay for my own therapy. I had to, you know, sit with my friends outside of work to kind of deal with these feelings that were arising, when in fact, like, a healthier workplace would be looking to, you know, also create these spaces for people to understand and talk through their emotions and what worked and what didn't work and how we can make things better. And the next time, a healthier workplace would be kind of creating those forums in the work itself, like in the workplace, in within work hours, so that you're not just like, you know, being pushed into delivering and then having to deal with the consequences of that in your own personal time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you're talking, I just remember of something that happened at work. I'm not sure if it is like a positive example about that, but it just came to my mind. So I was working with this person and the project wasn't going well. And this person was asking a lot of questions for this specific group of people. And I think we were wondering like why this person is asking those questions.
Yeah.
But suddenly she said, oh, I'm actually asking this because this is important to me. I'm very excited about this. I'm with you, but I just wanted to understand what is happening. And as she said that, I was like, yes, me too. You know, like everyone understood, and it was interesting how she was sharing her frustration, but her frustration was because she wanted to make this thing work.
Yeah.
And I think as we were like listening to it, we were like thinking, what is happening? It should matter to us. Like, what is happening? So it was really good.
That's interesting, because you were probably going home super anxious for a couple of days until you understood like why she was asking those questions. So yeah, that's exactly what, and I feel like when it comes to, you know, working in with Agile, that you have retrospectives. Like, the ultimate goal of a retrospective, for example, is to not discuss people, it's to discuss things that happened. And during a retrospective, you actually get the moment to, you know, express how you felt, say, hey, I felt very frustrated when I wanted to get that information and I couldn't, but I understand that everybody was doing the best they could with the information they had at the time. So I feel like holding these sometimes tougher conversations, but actually, you know, confronting people and asking people, like, why, how are you feeling about this? Is this because you're excited? Okay, so, you know, I can regulate my own emotions now that I know what actually lies on your side, like what the truth is for you. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Like, attaching perhaps the things that are not working well to the milestones, to the backlog, to the project, not to the person who is assigned to do that thing.
Definitely.
So, yeah, that's a really good strategy. DTC Pod is hosted by Ramon and Blaine and is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. DTC Pod is a podcast about all things direct-to-consumer, DTC. Ramon and Blaine cover everything from starting, growing, and optimizing e-commerce stores and DTC or D2C brands. They talk with founders, marketers, platforms, creators, and marketing and growth agencies to cover topics like brand building, social media, influencer marketing, website conversions, paid media, Facebook ads, consumer trends, email marketing, and more. If you're interested in the stories behind your favorite consumer brands, this podcast is for you. I encourage you to take a look. I have been learning a lot and it's incredible. So listen to DTC Pod whenever you get your podcast. And are there any specific signs or red flags that individuals should be aware to identify toxic positivity at work? And also about the red flag, the green flag. So
yeah,
I'd love to hear from you. First the red flags and then the green flags.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say that it's tough to really understand red flags if you're not in the workplace. So really tough to understand, like, what's not, you know, going well. I personally ask about these things in interviews, but I always take the answer kind of with a grain of salt, because, you know, it's not everybody's going to share things as thoroughly as you would enjoy, as you would like and need to kind of make informed decisions, right, about a workplace. But I would say that when you are in a workplace, things like, you know, having a manager who's open to have conversations like that, or having team members that are open to having conversations like that, that's by far like the most important thing. I would say that if your manager or if your team is really shut down to having conversations about, you know, how are you feeling? How are we, you know, how is this thing going? How is this impacting you? You know, how can I help you in a way that is a little bit more personal, a little bit more vulnerable? Like, if those conversations are not happening, I feel like that's definitely a red flag. Looking at things from the outside as well. So if you're looking to go somewhere, really understanding if, you know, does this place have, because there are situations in which the company also has skin in the game in terms of like maintaining your mental health. So do we have like unlimited PTO, for example? Like, what is the situation with parental leave in this company? Like, does everybody get a parental leave? Like, how is it, you know, so does the company actually create these mechanisms that will allow people to de-stress, to really, you know, understand how things are going outside of work, to really process their emotions? So things like that, I would say, are very important. Those mechanisms that the company creates are very, very important. But I would also say that one thing that was important for me, apart from, you know, looking at the companies and looking at whether they have, you know, how's their PTO policy? Do they have ESGs? Is there, you know, are there groups? Is there an actual, you know, HR department that I can talk to? Like, if I have to, are there, you know, other resources that I can have at work? So that's really important. But I would say that for me, like, just doing work on myself to understand what my boundaries are, that was also very important. Because I would say that after I realized that my I don't know. I feel like my energy levels, maybe they're not as they were 10 years ago, or, you know, but my energy levels, like, I enjoy sleeping early. I enjoy, you know, so really understanding what are my boundaries and kind of doing that soul searching thing for myself also really helped to maybe spot the green flags and the red flags. But yeah, I would say like the best green flags to look for are actually structural, you know, the structure that's going to help you maintain your personal boundaries. So a company doesn't have any policies for, you know, PTO, or doesn't have any policies for, and everything's kind of, you know, organized in a one-by-one basis, or, you know, it really depends on who your manager is, and managers don't really have, you know, a way to assess workers. Like, that would be a really big red flag for me in terms of, you know, I feel like that company might not be ready to give me what I would need in a job in terms of the space to process things.
Yeah, that's interesting. Look for like the structure, the resources that the company will provide you, but also what you need, and also question about the structure, right? Because perhaps the company gives you unlimited PTO. That's awesome. Do people actually take time off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think those like are two different things, right? So yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, starting the conversations around your company in terms of, say, there's no employee support group in terms of, you know, mental health, or can I create one? Can I just go ahead and create one myself? Is that something that this company will allow me to do? If not, huge red flag. There's definitely something that, you know, that there's a power imbalance that they're willing to keep having. So if those kinds of, you know, conversations among employees and those kinds of groups are not really being allowed in the company. Definitely.
That's interesting. And in your opinion, how does toxic positivity intersect with issues like mental health or like burnout in the workplace?
It's so connected, as I mentioned. So my podcast is organized in three parts. So it's a three-part series. And the first part is really just discussing toxic positivity, what it is. But the second episode is focused on how toxic positivity impacts employees themselves. And the third episode was really focused on how toxic positivity impacts companies. So I did want to kind of make that distinction, because no one is gaining anything. Like, there might be a short-term gain for companies if you're, you know, just pushing employees to, you know, keep delivering. But in the long run, there's no one ends up, you know, having a huge success, because there is burnout. People will stop showing up, will stop, you know, getting involved in things in the company, and actually there will be turnover. So there's definitely a perspective that's worth exploring in both sides in terms of company and employee. And when it comes to employees' mental health, it's definitely a major factor. If you're being gaslit, for example, so the example that I brought up, you know, and in my podcast, one of my interviewees kind of said that she was like, yeah, I kept bringing this issue up, but every time that I brought it up, people would tell me that I was not supposed to feel like that. So that I was overreacting, that person that I was working with wasn't really being abusive in the workplace. So if you keep feeling gaslit, you're definitely not going to be able to do your job well, and you're not going to be able to do your job for a very long time. So it's definitely connected. I would say that really understanding and processing your emotions and understanding how you're feeling and being able to regulate, it's really important to for you to not burn out in the long run. So they're definitely connected. And I feel like, you know, ESGs and, you know, groups that talk about mental health in the workplace, they're likely the one place to go to, or the first place to go to in your company if you're looking for someone to kind of have those conversations around toxic positivity and around how we can be, you know, more welcoming of people and people's emotions in the workplace. Definitely.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And what strategies or coping mechanisms can employees employ when faced with toxic positivity in their professional lives?
Yeah, so I would say that there are some that are more short term. So emergency situations, like what can I do in this emergency situation that I just need to, you know, regulate my emotions and kind of keep on working. But there's definitely a longer term, you know, how do I create and really understand my boundaries, and how do I understand how to assert myself as well in the workplace? So I would say that for me specifically, like shorter term things that have helped are related to, you know, do I need 5 minutes to do a breathing exercise? So like meditation, breathing exercises, like all of that will help. But for me specifically, when it comes to longer term and really understanding, you know, what feelings are arising, why is it that I'm feeling this way, like this challenging feeling, and really understanding how to communicate that in a way that's not really threatening. I would say that for me, something that was very important was just being more in body, being less in my mind and being more in my body. So things like yoga, things like playing sports, things like making sure that I'm turning my computer off and then go do something else that's not like screen related for a couple of hours. Like all of those things, they help you understand where are you feeling your feelings and how you can, you know, deal with them in a way that's maybe non-destructive, and how you can communicate them in a way that's really creating this connection with other people at work as well. But I feel like that's going to be different for, you know, depending on who you're talking to. And I also am completely, you know, aware that I'm in a situation, like I'm a white collar worker. Like I work from home most of the time. I, you know, work in tech. People are sometimes more open to have conversations about that. I understand that this is not taking a 5 minute breathing break. Like that's not going to be the case for everyone, especially, you know, if you're working in person, if you're working in maybe more operational jobs. So I feel like maybe one thing is really understanding what works for you and what works for your situation, what works for your work environment. And that's why I keep bringing up, you know, who can you talk to at work? Like, who can you have those conversations with? Because that's going to look slightly different in every workplace. And yeah, for me, things like kind of taking a break to understand why did I feel that way in that meeting, like that really helps, but that's not accessible to everyone. So really understanding your boundaries in that workplace and how you can work with them in that workplace, that's definitely something that I would recommend as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel this conversation is so, so important. And I'm very excited we are doing this episode with you, because I feel, especially with our context and what this podcast is about, it's about folks from Latin America and the Caribbean. I feel like culturally, it's a huge shift in mindset, where you first are going to think about what you need, what are your feelings, and what you're going to do about it. Because I feel our culture and the way we are raised, society, a lot of other things, capitalism on top of that, we are so used to dismiss ourselves.
Yeah.
So I think this is a huge, huge shift in mindset first. And maybe it's something that is going to take a lot of time. Yes. And I feel because of that, it's so, so important to be talking about that and talking about it with your friends, and just not forgetting this conversation, because it's not something that you will be able to change right away.
Definitely. And again, I'll use that word, but it has been a journey for me, from understanding that my personal boundaries were being violated, then just I spent like both of my MBA years kind of thinking about that issue, and like, how do I want to go back to work, and who do I want to be when I go back to work? Like what kind of employer do I want to be? Because I take a lot of pride and a lot of pleasure in doing a good job, but I also need to understand like, what are my boundaries so that I don't, you know, just step over them. So I definitely think that there's also the immigration issue as well. I feel like, I don't know if you feel like that, but you know, sometimes when you're an immigrant, you just feel like you have to prove yourself like 10 times harder. You need to, you know, be more present. You need to deliver more. And sometimes like that comes in the expense of your mental health and in the expense of how well you can do your job in the long run as well. So I definitely agree that there's a big cultural discussion to be had around it. There's also a very societal-wide discussion to be had about it. But yeah, like, you know, understanding that this is something that needs to be talked about and actually reaching out to people around you to understand like what can be done in your workplace, I feel like it's an initial step in a lifelong journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And also the importance of having references and people yes. that look like you, that speak like you, because as an immigrant, a lot of times you feel less than or yeah. behind in a lot of things, but because we are comparing ourselves to native people, in my case, American people, that is it's just different. It doesn't mean that it's better or worse. It's just like different. So it's good to have references that
yep.
speak to you as well.
Definitely.
And which resource helped you in your journey? Is there anything you want to share with us?
Yeah, I feel like a book that has been in my mind, like it rented a place in my mind for a while now, is from this guy called Simone Stolzoff. And the book's called The Good Enough Job. And he really goes into main myths that we have around work. So we kind of think that the longer you stay at work or the longer hours you do, the more work you're going to deliver. That's not necessarily, like a bunch of research has shown that that's not necessarily true. For example, goes into myths around, is your workplace your family? Not quite. Like it's a capitalist transaction. Like we are, you know, in a situation, there's a contract, like there are, you know, boundaries to uphold. So not really your family, like whoever's telling you that your workplace is your family, like probably wants to get more work out of you than you would do if you were not being kind of fed that information. So his book has really helped me to really rethink how I look at work and how much space work has in my life. So I feel like I've started like carving out more time for myself and really, you know, understanding, okay, sometimes I'll need to work longer during the week's fine. But how can I create resources for myself, and how can I create routines for myself that actually make me feel good? And how can I understand my worth without necessarily it being my worth as a worker, as an employee, without it necessarily being linked to what I deliver at work? So that book is amazing. Highly recommended, The Good Enough Job. And then I would say I've been watching a lot of stuff on YouTube as well. So we were just talking about that before we started recording. I feel like there's one channel that has also been helping me a lot in my relationship with work. It's called The Financial Diet. And they're basically like, she's more focused on, you know, economics. It has helped me understand like how I look at my money, how I deal with my money, how, you know, I plan so that I don't feel like I have to grind every day. Like, how do I plan for the long term? But she also discusses a bunch about our relationship to work. Like, why do we identify ourselves with our work this much? How can we, you know, create other, you know, personas and kind of live, you know, and have other interests that go beyond our work life. So I feel like those two have been in my mind a lot. And I consume like with a financial diet, for example, like I follow them. I watch every single video. So highly recommend these two.
I love that. I'm going to check them both. I want to read this book already. And I feel that it's a really good complement to what we are talking about, the immigrant life. Feeling less than, and just like sometimes the good enough, it's perfect, right?
Yeah.
But it's hard to keep that in mind. So really, really good references. I love this conversation. I feel we need part 2 and 3 already, but I'm going to leave the last minutes with you to share anything you want to share and where people can find you. And we are going to link to the description of this episode, everything we're sharing with us.
Perfect. My limited podcast series is called Positively Exhausted, Stories of Toxic Positivity in the Workplace. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts. If you look for Positively Exhausted, It's going to be there. And yeah, I've been, you know, cooking something, thinking about a new podcast, but nothing out yet. But always happy to connect on LinkedIn, Simone Lima on LinkedIn. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Thank you for having me. This is lovely.
That's it for today, everyone. Thank you so much for your time. I would love to hear your thoughts about the podcast and the episodes. Please message us with any insight, any feedback you might have. And also guest suggestions. Message us in your favorite social media platform. We are in all social platforms. And if you want to write us in a review, we will love that. Feel free to write us in a review on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Amazon, or any other streaming that you like. Thank you.